podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 10th of September, 2019. My name's Patrick Smith. I'm starting to get my voice back, starting to get rid of the hangover. It's been an absolutely phenomenal weekend. Maybe not the results that we wanted, but the entertainment value was certainly there, as was the heart from the Belfast Giants. On this week's show, we're going to look back over those CHL games. We might have a bit of a chat about the SNL Giants with a few interviews from them. We'll look at the Player of the Month results. We have a chat with Shane Owen, and we'll look around the league and look ahead to this weekend's start of the domestic season for the Belfast Giants against the Clan and against the Storm, and we'll have a few guests talking to us besides. But speaking of guests, we start off with Mr. McGimsey, who made that trip to the Czech Republic last week. How was that?
It was great. I had 24 hours, less than 24 hours from my left front door, I was back at it again, and I was in whatever it is, northeast Czech Republic. Beautiful city. I only got like half an hour in Prague, really, the following morning, but that's a place that I'd love to go back to. Brilliant little arena. We'll come on to the hockey, but just everything about the trip was great.
And the man who called the game, not from the arena, but from Premier Sports, was Mr. Simon Kitchen. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. It was good. Again, I managed to watch. Well, I was commentating that game, but I managed to watch the game on Sunday. You certainly can't lack the effort over the two games and conditions and everything. It all happened wasn't ideal, but we'll come back and chat about that shortly.
And you're joined by a guest, a man who we always enjoy coming back onto the podcast. He's popped by to join us, Mr. Jason Taff-Ellery. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, gentlemen.
A busy week for you.
Yeah, it's been busy, but what a great experience. It was awesome. Loved every minute of it.
The hospitality from both teams seemed to be great as well.
Yeah, we had a couple of issues with the Limerick when we got there, but once we got that sorted out, we were fine. But take my hat off to Augsburg. They were top notch from start to finish.
Yeah, great organisation, and no doubt we'll come to that in a second. Two items before we get stuck in. First of all, Mr. McGimsey, there's donor evening.
Yes, Paddy, been asked by the fabulous Laura Small to give a bit of a shout-out in the coming weeks. More information will come out over the coming days and over the coming weeks, but one of the game nights very soon is going to be a night to promote organ donation, something that's very, very important. Laura will come out with some brilliant statistics about just how much people need, and we're not just talking organ donation, actually. We're talking bone marrow, we're talking blood transfusions, we're talking anything that you can give that you don't need after you're gone, and some stuff that you don't really need even when you're here. So what we want, first of all, is we want to hear from Belfast Giants fans that have ever had a transplant or an organ donation. Or are you a Belfast Giants fan that's waiting for one? We obviously know Dylan's story, and you know, we hope that sooner or later, you know, he gets to the top of that list again. But we want to hear from you. So and Laura wants to use you and your story to help promote. So if you want to get in touch with her, laura@belfastgiants.com. We'll hopefully have lots more news on our Twitter feed and wherever else we are, Facebook and all that good stuff. But get in touch. I know Simon has already let his fingers do the walking this morning and signed up. He'll tell you a wee bit more about that.
Yeah, we were talking to Laura this morning about what Stevie's just reiterated, and it's very, very important. I had always meant to get it done with regards to signing up as a donor, and for one reason or the other, I just never got down to getting it done. And then when I got the link through this morning from Laura, I did it straight away. It took 30 seconds. It's vitally important, and you know, you could certainly, if something ever happened to me and my bits, certain parts of me come in handy for somebody, I have absolutely no problem somebody else using them if they think that'll help them. So again, there's more information coming out shortly. Again, the blood transfusion side of things, I've gave blood regularly for the last 4 or 5 years as well. So it's one of those things where if you can just, as I say, it only takes, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour to give blood as well. And if you can help out in any way, then I think it's very, very worthwhile.
Here, here.
Patty, I'll just come with the website. Yep. That Laura has sent through to me and says that Simon has signed up on. It's organdonationni.info. So if you want to go along, sign up there, or you'll be getting badgered over the next couple of weeks. As Simon has said, if you've got some useful parts after you're finished with them, you know, it'd be great to think that you'd be able to help someone.
It's such an important initiative, as is, you know, as is giving blood. It's just something that's so easy to do, and so many people maybe don't realize it's that easy, or don't realize, or maybe are frightened of it in some respect without really knowing the facts. It's well worth of getting involved and signing up for it. And if you ever get a chance to go and give blood as well, so important for people that, you know, that need it when they go through transfusions. It's that's a great initiative.
I was thinking about it this morning. I bought a pot of tea in the local coffee shop, £3.50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got like a wee free, say about the size of a 50p, wee bun for nothing. Well, £3.50. If you give blood, you get a free cup of tea and a free biscuit. Am I right, Sam?
Absolutely correct.
So there
and
you go.
Shortbread. It's really nice shortbread too from the one up in the City Hospital in Belfast. Very worthwhile.
Very worthwhile. And one more thing I want to cover just before we talk about Giants in the Champions Hockey League is the very sad news that came through today that the wife of the former Sheffield Steelers defenseman Mark Thomas, his wife Vicky, sadly passed away last night after a short but aggressive battle with cancer. We're supposed to be speaking later in the show with Stephen Packer of Storm TV, but the Thomas family intricately linked with Manchester and the Manchester Storm and the junior team there. But Davey, very sad news that came through.
It's always sad when, especially if you want to call them peers, people around the same age as you, people we interact with in the hockey sort of family here and their loved ones are passing away. Cancer is an absolute bastard. Like, it's just, I don't know anyone, genuinely don't know anyone that hasn't been touched by this terrible illness. And it's something that society is still trying to get on top of. We're still trying to research and find ways to beat this. You know, as far as we knew, Vicky was doing a lot better. And unfortunately there over the last number of weeks, you know, the illness came back pretty aggressive, and unfortunately it was one battle too many, and she leaves behind a couple of kids and obviously Mark and a wider family circle who be grieving hard at this time. And, you know, all we can really do is well, there's not very much we can do, only, you know, pass on our deepest sympathies, our genuine sympathies. And, you know, if there's somebody out there, it's as a dad, it's hard to see somebody leave their kids behind, so it just makes you want to give them a wee extra hug tonight, and, you know, tell somebody you love them if you get that opportunity. Don't leave words unsaid.
Sam,
I can't add anything to what Davey said. He's put it perfectly, to be honest. And thoughts go out to Mark and the kids and his family circle. It's just it's just horrendous, and you know, it's very, very sad.
Yeah, we'll move on. Like I say, our thoughts and prayers go to the Thomas family and everybody linked with Vicky. And I know that, like I say, we'll hear later in the show from Stephen Packer in regards to how it's affected the Storm and as well, the Storm guys as well, and the plans that are in place to tribute Vicky Thomas this weekend. Let's get stuck in it. Seems a bit trivial, but let's get stuck into these games with regards to the Champions Hockey League. The Belfast Giants had their first road games travelling to the Czech Republic and then onwards to Germany. That first game on Thursday night against Liberec didn't work out the way the Giants wanted. The Liberec hit back after their loss at the SSE Arena, and they took this victory 6-1. Goals from Zachar Jelinic, Maros, Lenk and Hudacek, who got two, and Belfast Giants getting one through Ben Lake. Davey, I'll start with you. You were there. A rough performance from the Giants.
Yeah, let's not gloss over. You know, I think from the highs of the week before, our performance definitely dropped off, and they were certainly more prepared. You know, played us a lot more respect than maybe perhaps what they paid us when they came into Belfast. Never ideal conceding on your first shift. I think the second shift then, Matt Pellage has taken that penalty that he's got a double minor for that has subsequently been upgraded to 2 game plus €1,200. We can talk about that.
We'll talk about that in a second.
For me, you know, I didn't particularly think it was a penalty at the time. Okay, I can see now in hindsight there's possibly a little roughing call there or whatever, but I still don't think double minor, definitely don't think 2 game suspension. So never easy going into kind of long travel, not ideal travel the day before. And not going to call them bust eggs, but we did come out slow and we got pinned back really badly for probably that first 10 minutes of the game. They've came up with the sort of 2-goal lead. We're having to kill penalties right from the get-go. We're missing Jesse Forsberg on place straight off. So we're kind of short and deep. We've got Matt Pellich in the box. We're killing penalties. It's difficult. I would say maybe, I think we talked about this ourselves. I thought that second half of the first period and maybe just the first maybe 5 second period, we actually got into the game well. We came up with a number of odd man rushes, a little bit of, not call it wasteful finishing, but maybe we could have done better on the finishing, or we maybe make a pass and we'll have a shot or vice versa. You know, those are the small, the really fine margins where if you get a goal, you're back in it. And unfortunately for us, we didn't get the goals and they go the other way. And for them, they get the goal. But, you know, we'll go into the second period and we get that goal through... Ben Lake, wasn't it? Scored a lovely goal. First Giants, obviously, first Belfast Giants away goal in the CHL. And you think, there's a little sniff here. We maybe just don't deserve to be where we are, but it's a 1-goal game. And then they really, there was a bad giveaway. I can't remember if it was the third or the fourth goal, but there was one of them was a real bad giveaway just in and around our own net. And they scored. And for me, at that stage, the game, it felt like, We're seeing the rest of the game out. Now, I think we took about 5 or 6 minor penalties in a row as well then. You know, it just kind of runs in. We had a bad night on the power play. Our special teams have been pretty good in terms of our penalty kill. Our power play hasn't been great, certainly on the road. And I think there was times you'd nearly have wanted to forfeit power plays because we looked really... We looked weak, or weak's the wrong term, so that's really bad. We looked shaky enough on the power play that we were given opportunities after opportunities away. They were getting so many more chances on the power play than we were, and eventually they came up with the breakaway. He goes in one on none, you know, one obviously scores, and that's the game tied up with about 15 minutes still to go. They had time just to put one in just right at the end of the game as well. That's not really worth talking about, but, you know, 6-1, don't think it was a fair reflection of the game and that we were 5 goals worse than them, but it wasn't a great night at the office for us, and they certainly upped their game from what they were in Belfast.
Taff, if I can turn to you, this is the next question. Like I say, you're obviously there also. Davey didn't want to suggest bus legs, but it was a long journey to get to there. Was it a difficult journey? Did you think that had any effect on the boys?
Honestly, I think it did. I think we should have gone the day before. I think we realised late the night before when we arrived that we should have gone the day before. Could have got a good night's sleep. Could have acclimatised, got used to the surroundings. But it was just, you know, we didn't get to the hotel till 1 in the morning, and then the guys are up there for breakfast, pre-game skating, then. You know, the normal routines for the games, you know, so, but there's no excuse for heavy legs at the start of the game. You know, you should be up for them games. But I think, you know, if we're in there next year or the year after, I think they will look about going into traveling the day before.
Taff, I just want to come back on that. Sorry, Paddy, I just want to come back on that. He kind of almost answered that question. Slight difference from the Continental Cup, the CHL, where we're travelling for what games, albeit went to the Czech Republic and then on to Germany, so like a double-headed road trip, if you like. But yeah. Is that part of the learning curve also of the Champions Hockey League, if we go back into it again, or when we go back into it again, hopefully next season, that we have learned lessons on our travel? You know, we're not a Liberettes. We can't turn up on a charter plane 3 hours before face-off. So, you know, if it takes an extra day and it's an extra night in the hotel, you just have to eat that up because if you want to be premium performance, you've got to pay the price.
Well, you look at it. It's Cardiff's second year. You know, they learned by their mistakes last year. They went the day before. Okay, they didn't get the result they wanted. But, yeah, for sure, the learning curves are there. We know what to do next time. We had a long bus trip down to Augsburg after the Liberec game, but yeah, we're gonna learn by the mistakes, and hopefully in the future we can work on it, you know.
And just one other thing, Taff, you know, everybody, you know, we often, you know, single you out for praise, and absolutely rightly so, but give the guys and girls that are listening a little insight. You're saying, you know, the guys arrived at the hotel at 1 o'clock in the morning. I think he's flew in from Dublin. So you have a bus trip to Dublin. You have a lot of gear to organize at airport, I'm sure. Then when you get to the Czech Republic, you arrive in Prague or wherever, 1 o'clock in the morning. Talk me through your next 3 or 4 hours, because you're not heading to bed.
No. Once we got, because we practiced on the morning before we left. So it was just packing in the bag, so the gear was wet when we did arrive in Prague. So we dropped the guys off. The bus took us to the arena, and Steve the pirate gave us a hand to unpack, you know. So I didn't really get to bed till probably 3:30. So yeah, you know, we just got to try and get that gear dry, ready for the morning skate. You know, it's something you've got to do.
That's when the guys head off and you're thinking, you know, after a long travel, you've still got a couple of hours to go. That's a hell of a bit of work, mate. Says your take on the game, you know, Davey's touched on the fact that maybe defensively we weren't as strong as we could have been. Shane Owen put in a decent performance, but it was just tough on the night.
I think it all comes down to Liberec. You know, I don't think we're giving them enough credit for this. They're a good team. You know, we played very, very well the previous week.
Good point.
In Belfast, but you could see how talented they are. I mean, the guy who to check out was one of the top scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey, he played against GB just this past World Championships there in Slovakia. You know, top player, very, very good player. They've had Ladislav Smid, who played in the NHL 580 games. There's a funny story about that the week before. The boys were chirping him on the bench. Actually, Taff, you tell him about Smid.
Oh, every time you come to our bench, he's like, stop chirping me, guys. Stop chirping me. I played in the NHL. You know, like, and?
So?
And even Murphy just turned around to him. You really played in the NHL? Really? Really? And honest God, the look on his face was as if to say, like, guys are all over me here. But, he took some chirping from the boys. But, you're fair game, you know. He put himself in a situation. Stop chirping, guys. You know, I played out. Do we really give a shit? No.
This is coming on Cool FM. You're not allowed to say that anymore.
I don't care.
The second period reminded me of a movie of Slapshot.
But the other thing about it is, Paddy, you know, you've got these guys who have played that amount of games in the NHL. They've got that experience. But everybody ties their skates the same way.
Absolutely.
So you just get out there and get stuck into them.
You're not in the NHL anymore, man.
Absolutely. Thursday's game against Liberec, you know, it was always going to be tough. As I say, that I don't think the travel arrangements, I think the boys and I think the organization are definitely going to learn from that. I think it's their you know, if we manage to get to the same position again next year and play CHL again next year, that things will be done differently. But, you know, the game itself, I really enjoy Premier Sports, you know, myself and Sheds called the game. And you know, when we got that goal back from the acre, I did try and do a subdued call. Didn't work, but you know, it's I don't think it was that bad, was it? No. But you know, when then you get that goal, you're sitting thinking, right, that, you know, let's just get settled down again. And you could see the message coming out from Adam. We could actually see it on the screen, and you know, when the power breaks come on, it goes to the coaches. You know, you can listen to the coaches because they're all, both of them are mic'd up as well. And Adam's just saying, right, guys, let's just calm down here. You know, 2-0 down. It's nothing to get, you know, it takes a few seconds to score a goal. Managed to get that goal back, and I'm sitting thinking that we're going to get stuck in here. But the two goals we gave up after that were bad, bad goals to give up. I can't remember who it was big into the corner by Bernier. I think it was number 16. But he just had a wee look over his right shoulder. and he threw a backhand pass out to the guy who first one-timed it. Shane Owen didn't really have a chance. Pelly was blocking the blocking his view, and he had slotted in on short side. So two goals in such quick succession really did knock the wind out of us. And I think at that stage, you know, Adam's sitting thinking, right, okay, that's got another period to play here. Let's get everything sorted out and try, you know, try to basically just keep the score down and get stuck in again and try and get another one back. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out that way. But as I say, I don't think we're paying the kudos to Liberets that they should have, because they played really, really well last Thursday night in their own rink.
If I can comment on that, I agree with you, Simon. I maybe didn't, you know, highlight enough just how class I thought the Liberets team were on the night. To give a little picture to people that weren't there, Taffel maybe back me up on this, an absolutely beautiful little bowl arena. I think it holds about 7,500. I think it was about 3,500, 4,000 there in the night. But ice hockey specific, you know, it's just built for playing hockey in. They've got a couple of ice pads for training. The players live in an apartment block, like right at the rink. There's a hotel by the rink that the players live on in game day.
So it's like a lovely setup.
Outside the locker room, there was more spin bikes than there is in a David Lloyd studio. You know, it's just everything those guys have is sitting for them. High salaries as well. You know, I'm not going to talk about budgets, Paddy, because I know we like to say you have your budget and you put your team out and you play your opposition. That's fine. But I'm just saying, like, it's a different, they're at a different level. They're playing the game at a different level. And they've got the likes of Smead there, who I think he might have played in the NHL. I'm not sure. But, you know, over the two games, he's played over an hour. You know, he's played one game out of two. He's almost always on the ice. And, you know, they have big game players who turned it on and turned up on Thursday night. I say, I think we played a little bit below par what we can do. Didn't elevate to the same level that we had the week before, but they certainly elevated. Their coach would have been under pressure. You know, if they had started the season 3-0 or 0-3, he'd have been under the pump. So I think they were a desperate team as well. They came out, and from shift one, they pinned us back so often. They were getting full line changes on the ozone. I think we talked about this in the post-match write up that Joel did. You know, they were getting in and getting full changes. They just pinned us in, and it just took its toll on us as the game went on. You know, we didn't have those legs to come back into the game. So yes, absolute agreement with what Simon's saying there. You know, credit the Liberets, you know, credit the Giants. We put in everything we could on the night, just came up against a very, very strong opposition.
Yeah, just a quick one there about the facilities. They second to none. You know, no wonder their junior program is so good. You know, the rink was nice, the dressing rooms were nice, all the facilities, and even to go over to the practice rinks, they had an NHL pad and an Olympic size pad. And on the way, you go through their junior setup. Wow, like every age group was their own dressing room, all the coaches, everything.
The other thing about that is that if you look at their lineup, I think that was right from this from last week. They had 13 players on their roster this year that came through the Liberets development program. That's half their team, more than half their team. They've come through. They were born in Liberets, they were brought up in Liberets, and they play for Liberets.
That's just culture, Simon, isn't it? It's just your Eastern Europe culture of it's hockey. Is, you know, those places are a hotbed for hockey, even more than football. You know, you've seen the ultras in Germany there, and it's fans, you know, that come out in numbers.
It's ingrained in their society.
It's just ingrained in them from no age. There's that opportunity, as Taff has said there. You know, they've got ice, they've got their own dressing rooms. They're on the ice probably, I don't know how many times a week, but they're certainly not having to queue up with the ice bowl at 11:30 at night, you know, waiting for, you know, you got 40 minutes of ice time and paying £15 or £20 a head each. You know, it's just there for them. And that has to be, you sort of, if you're getting in these competitions, you start trying to get your benchmark a little bit higher to get like these teams. I know we'll never touch that because in terms of finance, that is, it's a big money operation, but you know, you just have to try and make yourselves a little bit more professional every day, trying to attain that status.
It's funny, like on that point, and I'm going to move it on in a second, but on that point, you've said being ingrained in society there, and you look at Augsburg as well, because okay, they had the their rink, the arena that they have out the back. They have another rink, which is an outdoor rink. It was obviously used, and then I went when I was went for a run on Sunday morning. I was down by the park. There's another rink down there, so there's three rinks in the one town, because that's just who they are. That's the they also have a Bundesliga football team there as well. But it's a it's just ingrained in their society. It's difficult. I've got a few interviews coming later from the SNL Giants, and there's guys who are trying to, you know, be a part of a culture change, I guess, and I'm trying to develop a bit more from what we have. But when you're up against teams like Liberec or Augsburg or whoever, Frölunda, and you come to the Swedes, and they've had it in for generation after generation after generation, because they're, when it comes to it, they're a cold country in winter. They're snow and ice. You know, it's what they have and what they live by. Canada, you know, it's why it's like that, because you can put a pair of skates on and go to the pond, and in the same way that we pick up a football and kick it against a wall. What I want to do, just moving before I move on, is hit this button for the first time.
Docs.
The Euro DOPS, I guess. Matt Pelic was assessed a 2-game suspension for interference and also given a €1,200 fine. Davey made mention of this earlier, says, I'm still not convinced.
It's a good call.
There we go.
No, it genuinely is. You know, he gets 2+2 on a call that nobody called. Yep. Neither referee called on the night.
No, that's not true.
What's that?
That's not true. That's inaccurate.
Well,
the referee from the halfway line had his.
All right. Okay. Okay.
The only reason he made the call is because the bench is there.
Yeah,
bench.
I would say you're probably right. Yeah. No, the referee's 6 feet away. Does nothing.
Nothing. No.
No, and he's right beside it. Like that guy's right beside it. So you've got the trailing referee making a. Thanks for correcting me, Ardivi. But for me, it's nowhere near a 2-game suspension. If you look the week before their number 88, he had an intentional hit on Jesse Forsberg, and he gets 1 game.
That it's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. That's
called. The other thing about it is Pelle got €1,200 fine as well.
Yep,
€1,200 and 2-game suspension.
It's crazy. It's crazy. He was deemed, Davey, to be the third man in on a 2-man pursuit.
Davey was the third man in.
No, Matt Pelic was deemed to be the third man in a 2-man pursuit.
I like this term.
Worst part about the Euro DOPS, who are the Euro DOPS? The same people who do our DOPS.
Really?
Yep. Your man Lane.
Yeah.
Yep. They're the same ones. And
fun.
I think Pelic has had a bit of a history with playing Austria. That was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so he's had history there, and they probably thought, well,
you're probably 100% right. You know? I mean, Pels, the 2 years that he played in Austria, he was the highest penalty a minute taker for both seasons.
I'll ask you this, Simon, as the one who's played the game, I suppose, on the panel.
Tough.
You know what I mean, an out skater. So when he's chasing him back in there, he tries to dump a little pass out in front of the net. It doesn't come off, and the puck goes round behind the net there. You can see it. They're saying it's a 2-man. I can understand what they're saying is when he's in a 2-man battle, and Pelle kind of doesn't blindside him, but certainly stands him up. If Pelle doesn't go into there, Swinney is taken out of the play by the net, can't go across. What's Pelle supposed to do? Stand out of it and go into the corner there, win that puck, put it back in front of him. Pelle's job is to stop forwards getting through
100%.
The net. I think it's a big body on a wee body. I think that, you know, the size of Pelle coming in, the collision kind of half boards him because of just of the impact. I said at the very start, I can understand why a referee, certainly, as Taff has said, the whole bench is probably up shouting, and he's threw a hand up on the sort of outcome rather than the actual incident. But yeah,
hit the glass.
Yeah, but the game, the noise games is on review. I mean, I just don't see it as a suspension. I can understand in the situation there that there once the referee's hand's gone up, there's a penalty coming. I didn't agree with the double minor. I can see why there was a minor penalty in it. I disagree with it to an extent, but that's Pelle's job. Yeah. And you take that out of his game and he's not being paid to be there anymore.
The way I look at it is, if you watch the play again, if you go back and watch the play, Ordos, who was the player he could hit, comes round behind the net, tries to make a pass out, and admires the pass. He puts himself in a very, very vulnerable position.
I kind of disagree to an extent with you there too, Simon, because he tries to make the pass, agree with you, and I'm not sure whether back of net or it's off Swinney gets a poke check in or it's off Swinney skates or whatever and it goes back around the back of net. He then takes a stride at the puck. He knows where the puck has moved and he takes a stride to it. What Dobbs said was that once he's got rid of that off his stick, that play is completed and he's not eligible to be hit. He takes a step towards the puck, and as soon as he steps towards the puck, for me, he's eligible to be hit. I've got no issue with Pelle hitting him. I understand maybe because of the impact on the pitch or whatever, you get a minor for boarding, but it's not a two-game suspension. And this £1,200 plus £600 for Rayner a couple of weeks ago, £1,800 in fines, or €1,800, €1-1, it's near enough.
It's near enough. It's the same player, Zordos. Ordos got leveled by Pels and he hit knocked, well, put in his ass by Big Rayner.
Well, what you got to think of as well is that guy carried on playing in the game.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the guy that hit Forsberg, you know, intentionally off the puck, okay, so one game suspension, €600 fine, and we've got a guy that's missing for a month with an injury. Like, come on, work it out.
No, you're absolutely right.
It left the Belfast Giants 2D men short as they went into the game against the Augsburg Panther in Germany on Sunday evening. That was a 3-1 defeat for the Belfast Giants. The Panther goals come from Matt Fraser. I think it's three he scored against us now. But Fraser, Hasse and Peril, who scored an empty net goal. The Belfast Giants' only goal of the game came from Bram Ward. I'll start with you, Simon. That was a kickback performance from the Belfast Giants, and I tell you what, they went toe-to-toe with Augsburg.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. Shane Owen was absolutely outstanding. I thought he was great during the game. The
38 saves.
You know, some huge saves. I thought defensively, we were very, very strong. Obviously, missing four. Pelich, you know, Gary was... Yeah, Mark Garcia was excellent.
Yep.
Rayner, you know, he absolutely thrives when we're shorthanded. You know, you've got the likes of Pat Mullen, who, you know, he played a ton of minutes as well. The whole group from the forwards back, right the whole way back to Shane Owen, were excellent.
Brian Ward had sickness and diarrhea through the night. You know,
is that right?
Yeah. So he was sent, you know, and he played his out as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? So. You know, we were show quite a few bodies on the night, but it was fantastic to watch. Fantastic to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, watching it on TV, obviously you were there, Paddy, but, you know, watching it on TV, and I think Davey watched as well, you know, it was a brilliant game. It had everything as well. And even coming across, and this is the bit I want to get, you know, Taff and your view on it, we got the experience what it was like in Belfast and how loud those, you know, 1,000 Augsburg fans were, but coming across on TV, I don't think did it justice, to be honest. But I mean, what was that experience like, Taff?
Oh, outstanding. From start to finish, it was electric. End to end stuff, you know.
Go ahead, Joel.
Relax. But end to end stuff, chances both ways, hit the post. I think we hit the post twice, they hit it once, but, fair dues to their goalie, he did have a good game. He really, really had a good game. So did Owe. And I've got to take my hat off to this game. The officiating was phenomenal.
Mm.
It was great from start to finish. They talked to the coaches. They call what they had to call. You know, they were awesome from start to finish. But what an atmosphere. And, you know, our fans, again, outdone themselves. They were awesome. You could hear them all night.
Paddy, you were one of those fans. I'm sure you had a shandy or two when you were as well.
That's highly professional, mate. You know me. Listen, Taff's absolutely right there. The atmosphere in that arena was superb. It's everything that they've come to experience from German hockey games and the times that have been out there. You know, the guys turn up, the fans turn up like an hour and a half before the game. They get their spots on the terrace and the atmosphere starts to ramp up even before warm-up. You know, it was absolutely superb. You're just met with a wall of noise. That far side to where the Giants fans were was just this massive curve, this bank of fans, all just massive terrace. The noise that came from them all night long, they're just relentless, absolutely relentless. You see it in Berlin, you see it in Cologne, you see it in Munich. That's just the way those, I guess, they are. But throughout the whole game, and let's be fair, it's a little bit of a different culture. Let's say that the language is choice, but because the language was choice, I quite enjoyed that, using that sort of language myself through the game. But the Giants fans, massive credit to them, as Taff says. I thought we were in good voice, and there was a good few ironic cheers and songs, such as when they scored, you know, and then the Giants fans kicked up with "We Forgot You Were Here" and "Sing When You're Winning," you know, just throwing those ones back at them. But also the hospitality from the guys, the fans were coming up. We were stood in the queue to pick up passes and whatever, and we had fans coming up and shaking our hands and welcoming us to Augsburg and hoping we're having a good time. And then in the first period break, we're walking up past the bar and so many Giants fans were just approached by Augsburg fans. I handed these little yellow tokens with the Augsburg logo on them, and that was for a free drink. And you just took it up to the bar for free drink, and you got a pat on the back and a shake of the hand. And a lot of them saying, you know, they were over in Belfast last week, had a great time, and just wanted to say thanks. And the atmosphere was both friendly, but it was competitive. It was very, very enjoyable. Regards to my opinion of what took place on the ice, I thought there was an overwhelming sense of pride from the Giants fans at the end, because the boys put in one hell of a shift. And I think it was told by that penalty kill in the second period. Okay, seconds after that penalty kill ends, they score a goal, which comes of, you know, a lucky bounce that eventually goes past and Fraser gets it past Owen. But for 2 solid minutes, you know, there was no change. There was overwhelming pressure, both from their power play unit and from our penalty kill. But you handed the likes of Rayner, who was a beast out there in that penalty kill, and it just ramped up the atmosphere. I don't know, like, Taff, you can give us your insight with regards when the boys got back to the bench, but that penalty kill, I'll remember that for a long time, because the amount of effort put into it was incredible.
Well, it was, you know, Brian Ward, Rayner,
yep,
and Mully. They were blocking shots left, right, and centre, putting their bodies on the line, and I thought, man, these guys care tonight. It was awesome.
You see that happen when I was playing as well. You see that happening as a player standing on the bench, and you see your teammates out there doing that. It just gives you a massive lift as well. Like,
especially on that bench.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Guys are banging their sticks on boards and shouting and hollering and hollering. It's just, you know, unbelievable. Unreal.
And if we had to manage to take another 15 seconds, yeah, and, you know, get past that, mm-hmm, you know, literally just as, I think, was it Hooky came out of the penalty box?
Yeah.
Just as Hooky came out, they scored. But if we had to manage to just change and, you know, clear that part, that would have been absolutely unbelievable. But again, coming across on the TV, you got that, and you just, I mean, Bobby Farnham was the fourth one, wasn't he? And Bobby, you know, again, sacrificing your body to block the puck, getting through to Shane Owen,
it was
just absolutely immense. And that shift was, you know, that galvanizes a whole team.
And don't forget, this is a top DEL team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a top team in that league. And
lost out in the semi final to Red Bull Munich, who they play this Friday, yeah, actually.
You know, and push them to the limit. I still think that Empty net goal was offside, but
yeah. I'm glad you said that, because I think I said that at the time.
Yeah, we all said on the bench it's offside. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was too late, you know. But to put a game like that against a team like that, you know what? we got a good chance of silver this year. If we can play like that every night, we're gonna be up there.
Tough. Sorry for jumping in, Paddy.
Go on.
You've seen the throughout the last 16 years the IHL's playing now.
Yeah,
16 years. You've seen the standard being risen every single year, and you know, if you'd have been down, for argument's sake, you get the odd lucky result. But if you go down the years of EIHL teams playing teams of that caliber, it doesn't come along very often.
No.
But, you know, the EIHL teams just seem, and I'm not just including Belfast here, but the likes of, you know, the Devils done very well so far this season. Nottingham, Sheffield, you know, they've risen their game to get that level.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. It's from when the EIHL started, our teams would not last 5 minutes with these teams. The standing has risen so high now. It's you know, people are recognizing this league now. You know, they've seen what's happened in the last couple of years, and they're thinking, "Hang on a minute, this league's not a pushover now. We've got a good chance of progressing. Cardiff got a good chance now. They go win one game out of the next two, but I think it'll be tough. But you know what, like." That overtime loss to Augsburg at home,
yeah,
you know, we could, and if we could have squeaked out, and you know, we could have been up on top, but you know, that's hockey for you. But I think the standard is night and day, as good as some of them teams in Europe now.
Yeah, I wholly agree, David. Your take on the game?
Yeah, we certainly went toe to toe with them. It was never, you know, being short on the back end, but you look at the shifts. You've already named the names, you know, like Lemmy, I think he's 26 or 27 minutes, like Patrick Mullen, Rayner, Gary, you know, with the greatest respect to Gary, you know, he's played 22, 23 minutes there. That's probably a lot more than playing. I think Swinney played probably about half of that, about 12 minutes, but, you know, the guys had to put a big, big shift in. Difficult things, you know, we could do with winning a few more face-offs perhaps through this whole tournament. That's something that we'll really have to step up. Puck possession is really, really critical when you're playing against teams that really pressure you high. So, you know, that's what we'll probably want to look at that. But like a team, I thought both goaltenders were great. You know, a word for their goaltender too. I thought he was sensational over both games. He probably kept them in the game in Belfast. It was that one stick save he made in Belfast was just ridiculous. But, you know,
he made there as well.
That kind of pride that you're talking about, yeah, Belfast Giants have gone into the Lions' den, really short bodies, no Jesse Forsberg, no Matt Pelich. You know, we're playing with Swinney and Gary in the back end. So, you know, we're short on D, playing a guy who spent his career as a forward playing on the back end, Swinney supplementing that five, and those guys have laid down like season high. It's only four games in the season, but I'm sure if I go back over last year's stats, 12 or 13 block shots, I don't think we came close to that through any games last season. The guys are sacrificing everything just to keep themselves in, and getting that goal back, if we could have held on that just for a few minutes more, you never, you know, I think overall, I think we're realists enough to say that the right team probably won both games across the couple of nights, but we're oh so close. And yeah, that feeling of pride of watching my team, those guys representing my city, my country, it was fantastic.
One more point before I move it on is that every Giants, just back on the hospitality of the guys in Augsburg, every Giants fan as they left was handed like a goodie pack with a massive bread pretzel, a pair of sunglasses, an energy drink, a sticker, you know, sort of something to walk away with. I have to say, I was glad of the energy drink because I probably would have went to bed early without it. On Group C... the Giants, unfortunately, now sit fourth. Luleå topped the group with 8 points, four games played. Augsburger, 8 points, four games played. Liebreck are now in third position, 4 points, four games played. And they're, I think, more or less on goal difference because the Belfast Giants are also 4 points from four games played, but have a minus seven in goal difference. We'll return to the CHL in a month or so's time with two games against Luleå, both home at first and then all the way into the Arctic Circle. How's that trip going to be, Taff? You got that planned out?
It's going to be a nightmare. Logistically, that one, because we play Glasgow.
Yep.
Saturday, Sunday. I think Monday we travel over to fly to Stockholm to Luleå, get in probably late at night again to unpack the gear to practice. Tuesday morning, play Tuesday night and fly back. I think we fly at 7 in the morning, so it's going to be a quick turnaround. It's going to be a long weekend. I'm sure, but you know, we'll get through it.
Time for the results of August's Player of the Month Award, sponsored by Phonacab. We asked you to choose from the shortlist of four, and from those players, you have chosen with 46% of the vote. Patrick Ronka, number 95 for your Belfast Giants. Congratulations to Patrick. He becomes the first winner of the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month Award for this season. We'll get the trophy to him this weekend, and thank you to almost 600 of you who cast your vote this month. We'll be back next month with another one. And thanks again to Phonacab for sponsoring the award. Yep, so your Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonacab, is Patrick Ronka for the month of August. Simon, well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's been brilliant since he came in. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting into the IHL action and playing against the UK teams. And, you know, we played a couple of games in the CHL for Katowice a couple of years ago as well. And actually, not the Katowice, for the team he played before Katowice, I think. But, you know, he's top qualities. So quick. He's got great hands. You know, he's infectious around the room as well. And, you know, in the short space of time, I know that, you know, he is certainly trying to learn English. And you know, if we can hold on to this kid, then you know it'll be a masterstroke by Steve Thornton. But he's definitely going to create a lot of attention. And I'm not just talking about from this league; I'm talking about outside the league as well. I really do think he's got a big opportunity to go and play at a higher level.
I'll come to Taff in a second, Davey. I can't remember who you chose, but Patrick Ronka's a great choice for the Player of the Month. Instant impression.
He has that lovely that smile of his is absolutely brilliant. He's a really hard guy to see and not be happy to be around, and you know that's got to be brilliant in the locker room. But when he's on the ice, you know, we talked about it last week, on those edges, unbelievable. The way he can turn with the puck under control. I don't know, Taffin maybe be able to tell us better about how short or how long a stick is. I imagine he's got a little Steve Thornton tiny stick, but you know, he's just, his ability on the puck is sensational. His goal, I think it's the second night against Augsburg Panther, is it in Belfast? Yep. Where he just hits the brakes around the top of the circle and waits for a screen and buries it. He's scored a couple of really key goals already, but he creates every time he's on the ice, special teams, even strength. He just does a little bit of everything, and he wants the puck. He's demanding. He'll come back and he'll get it, and he'll transition for us. So excited to see what he's going to do in the Elite League for sure.
Yeah, absolutely right. He's got a great personality, that really nice fella, and a hell of a player. Taff?
Yeah, he's a lovely kid. You know, he comes in every very polite, always smiling. Guys love him around the room. And I think it was a game, one of the preseason games, he lost the puck in our own end, and he backchecked all the way back, and he won that puck off the guy's stick. And Liam Reddox on the bench, he turned around and he goes, "No, there's a kid that loves hockey." He said, "You know what? That kid's got a bright future ahead of him." And you know what? He's awesome in the room. I even had to teach him how to cut a stick. You know, he don't think he's ever cut a stick before, so. But keeps coming, Taff, "You must cut my stick. You must cut my stick." "I'm going to have to show you. I'm going to have to show you. So I'm not going to be here all the time." So, but now he can cut his own stick now and tie his own laces. So, you know, he's getting there. He's getting there slowly.
But one thing about him, Taff, that you talk about that back check there, he'll, for all the size of him, he goes into the corners, and he goes in the corners hard. He'll go into those puck battles.
Oh.
You know.
Against the biggest guys as well. He's not scared of, you know, mixing it up. He is, you know, he'd probably go in the corner against Matt Pelich anytime. He will give his all. Get that puck.
100%.
Plant Pellage's legs, stamina.
Yeah, probably.
Well, congratulations to Patrick Runkle. We'll get that trophy to him. He is the first winner of the Player of the Month award sponsored by Fonacal. We'll obviously have another one of those at the end of September. Just quickly, we're going to just have a few interviews here. Some I was supposed to put in last week, and I unfortunately forgot. But the SNL Giants undertook their first game in the Scottish National League against Solway. Unfortunately, it wasn't a great result for them, a 17-2 defeat. But our good friend Craig Simpson was at the game, and he picked up a couple of interviews. And let's start with none other than Mark the Motrian Morrison.
So post came in, Dumfries Ice Bowl with Mark Morrison. Mark wearing a Belfast Giants jersey once again. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's always good to wear a Belfast Giants jersey. You know, always feel proud putting it on. It's a bit weird getting back on the ice, get my edges back and stuff there, but I'm sure we'll pull together over the next couple of weeks and get going.
And getting the SNL team back at the top of the junior club to get that pathway for the players through must be a huge thing for the club.
You know what? It's been missing for X amount of years there, and it just means that once our players reached a certain age, they had nowhere to go after that in Northern Ireland, unless they were good enough to go to professional. Then they had the Belfast chance, but it's tough to make it into that category. So I'm very pleased that there's this extra stepping stone, because then if the kids play under 20, some of them might also play up to the SNL, and that will give the kids double the ice time, double the experience, and definitely a better chance of pushing on further.
Yeah, and we've seen particularly some of the kids now who they play in the junior club getting that chance with the Scottish Conference team, so the talent is coming through, and this gives them somewhere to play, like you say.
Absolutely, our younger tier teams have a great amount of talent down there. There was a gap between the under 20s and the SNL for quite a number of years, but that's starting to fill through now with the younger players coming through, and we definitely have talent there to nurture and bring along.
Just talking to Caitlin there just before the lining up before the game alongside Caitlin, how did that feel?
It was weird. It was really weird playing in this situation with her, you know, in the dressing room and stuff. But I think it was good for her to see, you know, how it's done at a higher level, and what way to act and what way to be professional around things. We were getting beat there, but, you know, the professional attitude is to keep going, keep your heads up and never give up. Hopefully that filtered down to the younger guys. Yeah.
And there was never a question about the number 20 shirt, was there?
Well, it just ended up in the stall. I don't know where it came from. It's a bit tight, to be fair, so I'll have to complain about that.
Just quickly on the game, obviously a tough start, but what is practically a brand new club for the SNL Giants, it can only go one way from here.
Yeah, we're missing a few players as well who couldn't make it, unfortunately, this weekend, so that means there's seven other players fighting for spots. So it's going to be competitive to make the team, which is always good to push players on further. So it is going to be a competitive team this year. And hopefully the next game we'll have a full roster and we'll be able to bring it a bit better.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate your time tonight. Well done on the game, and we wish you well for the season.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Thank you. So back in the rink where you had your GB performance here last year, how does it feel to play with a Belfast shirt on?
Yeah, it's a bit more different. It's a lot of older guys. It's very tough.
Yeah, but playing for a Belfast team, how does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good to be with my home team, you know. A lot of the guys I've grew up with, so it's nice to play with them again.
Yeah, and having the senior team back as part of the kind of at the top of the junior club, giving up the pathway through, was that?
Yeah, that's nice. It gives me the opportunity to show myself at this level and see how it goes.
Yeah. And line up at the pre-game, we had your dad beside you. How did that feel?
It was a bit different. It was a bit funny. I never saw him in this sort of situation, so it was good, yeah.
Yeah, and the game, obviously a tough game on the ice, but the team kept going for the full 60.
Yeah, a lot of these guys haven't played competitively in a long time, so it's good to see everyone back together again.
And yourself, obviously, playing this level, the GB still an ambition as well?
Yeah, had tryouts last week, so just waiting to find out.
Yeah, well done, man, tonight, and best of luck for the season.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
The SNL Belfast Giants player coach, Gareth Roberts, joins us here in Dumfries. A tough start for the SNL Giants, but it's all about getting the team up and running and the journey from here.
Yeah, this game came at us fast. We've been together for 4 weeks now. This is the only ice time they could get to accommodate the game, so it came fast. We spent the first kind of 2 weeks trying to get a team. There's more people to come, but there's about six or seven guys couldn't make this trip because it was so soon. There's six or seven players there, so there is that are going to up the tempo of our game.
Yeah.
We're going to compete. This doesn't reflect what we're going to do this year, what we're planning to do. But it's a good pre-season with abbreviations there.
Yeah.
They're a very good team. They took their chances, they were clinical. But it helped us, it shows us what we have to work on.
Yeah.
So
to get the SNL team back at the head of the junior club, you could say, is huge for the progression and the player pathway on Northern Ireland.
It is. We have to give the kids somewhere to go. Not everybody can go to Canada because it's very expensive. We have to provide something for the kids to strive for, something that they want to be part of. And this league is good enough for that. So it is. Whenever we get going properly and we get the home games as well as the away games, there's something going to be there for the kids. It's something for them to strive for, something for them to work harder, put that extra step in practice, and then progress to the Giants. That's the goal. There's a lot of hard work in between there. Nobody's taking that away. It is hard work getting to the Giants, but gotta give the kids hope. We're a lot of old men trying to get this going, so we are. But it's for the kids as much as ourselves. The Junior Giants as a club with Stewie is a great, great thing for the kids of Northern Ireland and Ireland. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's made to feel part of that family.
Yeah.
And the family just needed a head at the top. So that, and this is what the SNL is. We want to have some for progression for the kids.
Yeah.
It's all about them, to be honest. We're just here to get it going.
And having the guys like yourself and Mark who've played at the senior Giants, to kind of give that experience and tell the kids what it can be about, is hopefully that's what there is a figureheads and what have you.
That, we're all here to help with our experience. It was tough out there trying to do it ourselves. I've been off the ice for 5 years, Mo's maybe six or seven. It's hard to get our legs going again, but we want to do that because we want to pass on what we have done. We still love the game. You miss it whenever you're gone.
Yeah.
So you do. So to be able to play again is awesome for us personally. But there's a bigger picture there that we're all striving for. And as much as we get to have fun there, it's about the kids. It is about the Junior Giants. That's what we want.
And there is a talent with St. Mark. The number of Belfast players who are now making their way into kind of the Scottish Conference team. So they are representative teams. So the talent is coming through at the junior level, so giving them the stepping stone to the SNL, hopefully on a pathway to the elite.
We want to keep them at the club. We don't want them going away looking for extra games. We need to provide them extra games. The more that we keep them here, the better chance to have of training with the Giants, learning what you need to do at a young age, and then progressing there. That's what every kid wants to do.
Yeah.
Just some of us have been fortunate, but the league has progressed so much that we have to point them in the right direction of what they need to do.
It's good to see the Belfast team back in the SNL, and we wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Hopefully it's better to come.
A lot of travelling, obviously. This is your local derby, I think. This one is your nearest.
Well, this is the closest, so we'll call it a derby whenever we get better.
But appreciate your time tonight. Very well done. Thanks, all the very best for the season.
Thanks very much.
I'm going to come back now. Thanks to Craig for all those interviews. I'm going to go straight to you, Mr. Majemsey, because that game was also probably, it's been talked about, it's the first time there's been a father and daughter on the ice in senior hockey.
Yeah, well, if anybody knows, it's going to be Craig Simpson there. So, a little bit of history for the Martin. They have been, I suppose, steeped in hockey. They're not their whole lives, but certainly since Mo was a young fella running around in Donald and getting the Scottish leagues and stuff, and obviously Caitlin over in Canada the last couple of years, so she's came back and taken up with the SNL team. I see today that they've added a big body on the blue line there, and someone with almost 600 games for the Belfast Giants and Graham Walton.
They
I think a mobile defenseman he hasn't been described as. It's good to see some of the guys that once played for the club still have their passion and want to help younger guys and girls to succeed in the SNL. It's going to take a little bit of experience as well as those youngsters for the team to go. Difficult to go away over there and get pumped 17 too. But, we wish them every success. We'll be following along the way. I see that nearly every player has got a sponsorship request out there. So if you're business out there and you don't want to sponsor the podcast, you might want to sponsor an SNL player and help them with some expenses this coming season.
Says and Taff, and it's, you know, to go over the game like that 17-2, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's a starting point.
You want to go first, Taff?
You go first.
I've been in those positions. I've been hammered 17 goals against us, and it's not nice. But it is a learning curve, you know. Even at that level, you know, Solway would be a top team at that level in the SNL. You know, they played at higher levels over the last number of years as well. They've imported players in there. They've got a really good coach in wee spot, and you know, they're a top outfit. But you know, I don't think the guys went over with a food lineup. You know, lineup and again, you know, it's their first game they've played in a long, long, long time. So it'll take a bit of getting used to. It'll, you know, it's given the opportunity here for players to, you know, play competitive hockey. You know, you can train as much as you want, whether, you know, you're on the ice or off the ice. But if you're not playing, you're just not going to improve at the speed and the level you need to. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I've had a bit of stick over it from a few of the parents for allegedly having a go at the kids, saying there's nobody good enough. And I still feel that there isn't anybody good enough right now to step in and play for the Belfast Giants. And I would love nothing more than for one of those kids who play in the SNL team, whether it's, you know, a 14-year-old Carter Hamill, or whether it's, you know, it's Adam Robinson getting to put every single effort into playing hockey and you know, prove to Adam Keith that he deserves the chance again. But as I say, we still are a number of years away from having a local player, a local born and bred player playing for the Belfast Giants. And as I say, I would like nothing more for the shove down my throat. Nothing at all.
Taff, it comes down to what we were talking about earlier on with regards to culture and maybe it being difficult to develop that, or basically a starting block for developing that culture over here.
Yeah. Adam had a chat with young Cal Beattie. You know, he just wanted some direction of where he was going to go in the future. And Adam said, if you're aiming to be a Belfast Giants, you're not aiming high enough. He said, you need to be aiming higher than the Belfast Giants. He said, you need to be going to East Coast, something like that. You know, that's what, you know, that's what kids do in North America. They aim to go to the NHL. They aim to go there. But unfortunately, we haven't got the facilities like we were saying earlier in Liverpool, stuff like that, you know. But these kids are going away. And I think, you know what, I see these kids go away now, going to North America and things like that. I think they're going the wrong way. They pay a lot of money to go there. I think kids need to be going the other way. I think they should be going to Sweden, Finland, and learning the hockey there. There's Ross Lambert, former Nottingham Panther. His son plays for the Finnish national team now, the under-20s. And apparently he's going to be drafted very, very highly in the future. But he's doing really, really, really well in Finland. You know,
is that a language thing, though, that people that they would go to North America because, you know, English speaking?
Yeah, but still, every coach today now, every coach and every Finnish player, every Swedish player now speaking.
Yeah,
you know, it's his second language now, so there isn't a problem. I know Finnish and Swedish is hard to learn, but you know, coaching is done on a board, and most of the coaches speak English anyway, so.
I suppose you've got like the likes of Patrick Wronka coming here, where English is certainly his second language.
Yeah, you know, any you know, European that comes over, they've got to adapt to our coaching. You know, Kiefer speaking, which isn't very good, but
I think that's a very valid point. What Taff's saying there, and what he said that Adam had said to me, Kel. I mean, I was talking to Kel. Taff and I were watching a practice about 10 days ago at the arena, and Kel's been on every morning. I was down helping Taff out in the room, and then, you know, when the boys are out training, he gets his gear on and goes on after practice and skates out there. And you know, when you're talking about examples of watching players, you know, there was nothing higher than watching Liam Reddick's as the last guy off the ice
at the SSC Arena at the minute. There was the game before we played Liberets last Thursday at home. On the Wednesday morning, they were training at the SSC Arena. Did a full practice. Reddix was the last one off the ice. He stood with 40, 50 pucks at the far end of the rink, at the east end of the rink, sorry, the west end of the rink, and he stood there and was practicing his shot forehand, backhand. Kel skating around at the other end of the ice. Mac Stewart was on the ice as well, and Liam's just standing there shooting the puck. This is half an hour after everybody's else off the ice.
Yeah.
And that's what this guy is 32, 33 years of age. He's played 100 games in the NHL. He's played 8 seasons in Sweden, and he's still trying to get better every single day.
Yeah.
And when you get guys like that, and yes, you know, Davey touched on it earlier, you know, they get an hour's practice a week here or 2 hours practice. You're absolutely right, Davey. It's not long enough. It's nowhere near long enough. And I know that the guys at the arena, as in, you know, push for this new facility in Belfast, and hopefully, you know, they can get that done and get a development program in 2 rinks in Northern Ireland because it's needed. It's drastically needed. But as I say, you're looking for a role model. You look no further than Liam Reddix. And young guy, I could see young Kel sitting watching him and you know, just watching which way he's moving the puck from forehand to backhand to get it, you know, to try and put it up top. And, you know, I was talking to Kel and I said to him, I said, Kel, look, I said, you're a really good skater. What are you, just Kel, 15? You know, the kid can skate. There's no doubt about that. He's a really good skater. And I said to him, I said, see, to be honest with you, Kel, you need to focus absolutely everything on hockey. Every other sport needs to go out the window. Everything that you're doing, that apart from your schoolwork, get your schoolwork done and focus solely on hockey, and then you've got a chance.
And ever since Adam's had a chat to him, he's been going to his uncle's gym. You know, he's there 2 or 3 times a week now, and he's his uncle's a silver medalist Commonwealth boxer, and he's been at the gym 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, that's good. That's going to help.
You know, he wants to be better. He wants to get better. And what Adam told him, you know, he took it on board and he thought, right, I'm going to do this.
Well, I would like nothing more, kids. You know, is it, you know, make it the higher level in Belfast Giants. But, you know, if you aim high and you have to settle for playing for the Giants, it's not a bad level to settle for, isn't it?
That's right. Well, we'll keep an eye on the SNL Giants as we go through. Big thanks again to Craig for those interviews. Time for the fan agenda, brought to you from our friends at Belfast Giants TV. And the first man up this season is the man who backstopped the Belfast Giants through what was a pretty successful and entertaining Champions Hockey League and goes into his first league games and cup games this weekend. It's Shane Owen. How are you, mate?
Great. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Let's start with the last weekend and the road trip. Okay, not the greatest of results, but an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be a memorable experience for myself and probably a lot of our teammates. It was a great road trip, a lot of team bonding, and yeah, we had a ton of fun. Obviously, the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but we faced a little adversity, and now we can just grow from that and just move forward.
We spoke after the game on Sunday about the atmosphere in that rink, and you were getting quite a bit of attention from the Augsburg fans behind you.
Yeah, they were pretty crazy, but they were so passionate and made the game so much more fun to be a part of. And yeah, that was definitely an unbelievable experience, and I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Shane, it's Simon Kitchen. Just to go through with regards to the journey over to Liberec, your first away trip with the Giants. Obviously, it's very good to be involved in the team bonus session and being away with the boys for 5 days. How did things progress for you?
It was awesome. Yeah, we got to know a lot about each other, and obviously spending all that quality time together and traveling over there and being in some countries I haven't really been to. I mean, I've only been in Czech once for a couple of days, and I've never been to Germany. So to experience those cultures and those places was awesome.
And your view on the overall first 4 games of the CHL, obviously the first game just over 2 weeks ago now for the at the SSA Arena and picking that big win up against Liberec. If you take them as a group of four, how do you think we've settled ourselves in for that action anyway?
It was good. I mean, yeah, we had a great start, and yeah, we're still trying to get to know each other as teammates and as a whole. And I think we're doing quite well, and I think that's going to carry over into our domestic play and league play, Challenge Cup, and that very well. And I think we'll be ready to go when that happens. But that being said, yeah, we still have two games left in the Champions League, and you never know what's going to happen, but we'll take those when the time comes. But for now, we just got to focus on domestic play.
Shane, it's Davey. As you say, the Champions League is sort of mothballed for another few weeks, and we're in the domestic action straight in with games against the Clan and Manchester. Aren't going to be easy. We'll sort of be better set to know where we are as a team after we've played a few domestic games, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously our league play is going to be a little different. The Czech play a different style of hockey. The Germans play a different style of hockey. So it's going to be interesting. And I think we're going to be prepared. We're just played against some awesome teams. And I think we just got to get back to work at practice tomorrow. And we'll game plan from there. Let Kiefer do all his strategizing and his coaching, and we'll be ready to go.
Got a couple of questions from Twitter that we threw out there. As usual, we get some good ones back. We got one from, as I look at Andre Owens, a lot of hockey players have pre-game superstitions. If you're joining a team where superstitions clash, how do you decide to keep the routine?
I don't personally have many superstitions. I mean, I have a routine, I guess you can say, but I don't have anything that's going to throw me off or make it a tough night for me. But there is guys that have crazy superstitions. I haven't seen any around the locker room yet, so there hasn't been anything that stood out to me, but I'm sure some things will be seen eventually.
What's been the weirdest one?
I couldn't even tell you. I have no clue. I mean, I've never been big into superstitions and stuff like that, so I don't even really pay attention to that. I just kind of play my soccer, my two-touch, get warmed up, and do a little juggling there, get my hand-eye going, and yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Neil Whiteside caught you doing that for his Sights and Sounds, that juggling routine against the wall. Well, is that just to improve hand-eye?
Yeah, it's just a hand-eye and get my visual going, I guess. I don't know, my... Watching tracking pucks, tracking that ball off the wall and catching them. And yeah, it's just kind of something I've been doing to get myself warmed up for quite some time now.
Shane, it's Davey again here. A maybe misused cliche amongst goalies, you know, when they've conceded a goal and people are analysing the game, they'll say, you know, the goalie might want that one back, or he might want another go at that one. Is that something, do you watch tape back? Do you agonise over goals that you've maybe conceded and think you could have done things differently, or is it just once it's gone, it's gone, and you just concentrate on the next shot or concentrate on the next game?
Yeah, that's definitely, during the game and in the moment, it's that you definitely got to take it shot by shot, period by period, game by game. And I mean, all you can control is that next save. So at that time, you got to let it go. You got to let it go down that river, I guess you could say, and not focus on that and reset, refocus, and get ready for that next shot. But then of course after games we'll go over game tape, and myself being a competitive goalie, I believe I can save everything, or I could have done something different to change everything. I mean, there's always some tough bounces and stuff that you kind of out of your control, but there's always stuff you can improve on. And I mean, every day you're looking to get better. And yeah, those game tapes, our coach, team, Kiefer, everyone in the back staff there does a great job of putting highlight tapes together and video for us, and we're constantly watching video and trying to improve.
Shane, you talk about obviously getting to know the guys, but there's one of the players that you played with games in Poland 2 years ago in Mr. Ronka. You obviously, you know, he's only coming out of Poland for the first time to play in the British League, and obviously the CHL games. What's he like as a teammate, and what's he like when he's one-on-one in practice?
Oh, he's an awesome teammate. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always in a great mood. I mean, I think he's still working on his English, but it's coming pretty quick to him. And, he's a hilarious kid. He's always got good little jokes. He's always smiling. He's having a good time. And he just loves the game of hockey. And he competes every day and works. And, Yeah, he's tough in practice. You see the skill he has out there on the ice. So when he's coming in one-on-one, it can be challenging. But, I mean, I'm always up for the challenge, and that's the only way I'm going to get better as well.
You've come in, obviously, to Belfast for your first season this year. And you've obviously been put under pressure with how good Tyler Bescarwani was last year. How do you, as a player, how do you deal with that? Because, as I say, you know, you played against Besco last year on numerous occasions, and you know, we've seen what you're capable of when you were playing for Fife, and obviously in the first four games of the season as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess pressure is a privilege, and I enjoy it. I mean, yeah, you can have that extra stress, but you can't control any of that again. I mean, people are going to say those things, but I can just focus on my own game and focus on myself and try and get better every day. And I guess I've proved to myself and to others in this league that I can play at a high level in this league and do well. So that's my goal, is to help this team win and do as well as I can.
One more question from Twitter before we let you go, Shane. That comes from Ryan Rodwell. It says, having been part of a team that's now performed so valiantly in the CHL, is there a lot of optimism and confidence among you guys when you go after defending the titles?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone is, yeah, we're going to just get back to work, like I said. And yeah, we're feeling pretty good. And like I said, we're getting to know each other pretty well. And I think we're gelling very well together, and we have a great group of guys, and everyone gets along with each other, and that's a big part in having a winning team. So we're going to do our best to defend that title and take it game by game.
Has it been a couple of days off before preparing for the weekend?
Sorry, what's that?
Have you had a couple of days off before preparing for the weekend?
Yeah, we had today off as well. Yesterday was a travel day. We didn't get home till 1 or 2 in the morning, so it was long, but they gave us today off, so a little bit of relaxing, recovering, and we'll get back to work tomorrow morning.
Well, listen, we'll let you go back to your evening. Thanks very much for joining us, mate, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much for having me, and cheers.
Thanks again to Shane. Around the league. So the Belfast Giants' other spot in the Champions Hockey League, which was taken by the Cardiff Devils, they've won their third game of their adventure into CHL with an away win over Graz 99. That puts them top of their group. Moving on, the Elite League is underway, and there have been wins this weekend for the Storm over the Dundee Stars, and the Panthers took a win, and there was a split between the Sheffield Steelers and the Blaze. That split between the Steelers and the Blaze is two entertaining games by the looks of it.
I don't even know
the score. I knew it was coming.
I didn't even know the score. To be honest, the only game I looked at the weekend was the Man game, because we played them next weekend. So I didn't even know. I don't know who won. I've no idea what the score was. Don't really care at this time either. So, yeah.
I think that's the feeling across the board, really. So we'll move on. And we'll preview this weekend. The Belfast Giants return to domestic action against, as Simon just said, the Clan, and then away to the Manchester Storm. First up, let's have a quick chat with regards to the Clan. Not the best of starts for them. They took back-to-back losses against the Dundee Stars. Hammerings, in fact, we spoke briefly about those last week. They come in for the Challenge Cup game against the Belfast Giants, and well, Gareth Chalmers had a chat with Joel Neil earlier today.
Pleased now to be joined by the Chief Operating Officer of the Glasgow Clan, Gareth Chalmers. Gareth, welcome back to View from the Bridge. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Now, we were just having a quick chat there beforehand. It's already 10 o'clock, and from what I understand, you've had quite a day. So greatly appreciate you taking the time to chat to us tonight. Now, listen, before we get into the hockey side of things, the 8th of July just passed was the one-year anniversary of the Brayhead to Glasgow rebrand. Personally, something that I think was a fantastic move for the club, very well executed on the business side. I'm interested to know what that process was like for you in the back room, and how has the past year or so been?
We've been talking about it for about 2 years now. It's been something that we've been reviewing, a session kind of, to see if it would be a good move. Obviously, when you, like any rebrand or any name change, you've got to take into account various factors, which is how will the fan base react to it, how will your sponsors react to it, how will your tenant, your venue react to it? So we thought long and hard about it. We looked at the pros and cons, and then decided it was a really good move for us. It's definitely been the best move. It's worked out really well for us from just awareness in Glasgow, especially from the business side. But it's also really grown our merchandising in terms of it's opened a lot of avenues into North America, which is exactly what we wanted. And it's been excellent. It's been very positive. The fan base have really bought into it, which was one of our worries. So yeah, all very good.
From my side of things, definitely. I mean, you've brought on some kind of Glasgow-centric sponsors that I'm quite jealous of. You know, you see kind of involvement from ICW now, the Cat House, West Brewery. It just seems like the club has really become more so part of the fabric of the city, which has obviously been the overall aim.
Yeah, it's been very important. And sponsorship for us is it's a big growth area for us, sponsorship and merchandise. So, the rebrand, we had that in mind, and as I said before, it's open doors.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a rethink about what we're doing with sponsorship and where we're wanting to go, and I think, you know, we'll see that there's a bit of a growth market there. Glasgow's it's the third biggest city in the UK, and, you know, there's a lot of white-collar companies in Glasgow, and mm-hmm. So we wanted to try and open doors there and utilise that, you know, that those contacts.
Yeah, well, all good so far, but let's flip back onto the ice then. Obviously the big headline news of the off-season, or one of the main headlines, was Zach Fitzgerald's return to Glasgow. He's taken up the reins behind the bench this year. Now, as a Giants fan, first and foremost, I've seen firsthand just what a move like that has the potential to do for a club. What are your hopes and your expectations for the Fitzy era?
When we're looking for a head coach after Pete left, I think the whole club learned its lesson. I certainly did, and I think the owner did as well. It's very important to get a head coach that's got a connection with the club and the city. I think you guys, of course, they get that with Kiefer, and to an extent, I think Cardiff got that with Andrew Lord as well.
Yeah, I agree.
It's important to have somebody who's, I think, paid for the club, has a connection with the fan base. Gets the organisation and gets the city, like the John Tripp era for us, taking nothing away from John, but it was a disaster for us on so many levels. We learned our lesson from that. When we started looking around, it was very important from my perspective that we got somebody with elite league experience. Could we get somebody with coaching experience? If you look around the league, there's not many head coaches in this league have coached before, and there's reasons for that. So Fitzy was an ideal candidate. Was he a risk? Of course he was a risk, but I think he's the right guy for us. He absolutely loves the club. He loves living in Glasgow. He said numerous times that he loves being in the city. So it was an easy decision for us, and for him, I want a coach that's going to be here a couple of years. We seem to go through quite a few head coaches, one way or another. So we'd like Fitzy to be here for, you know, a couple of years, like Ryan was, and try and build something over a couple of years and see where it goes from there.
And if you take a look at the squad you've built this year, it's certainly impressive. You know, you've retained a core of those high performers, and you've also boosted the ranks with guys like Chad Rao coming straight from the KHL. Matthew Waz made a return to the EI. Do you feel like you're in contention for silverware this year? What are your thoughts for the season ahead?
Well, after last year, like we had a very good year last year by where our budget sat in the league. We punched way above our weight, which is exactly what we wanted to do. This year, well, after last year, we assessed what our weaknesses were. So we moved pretty quickly to get the guys that we wanted, and worked on just really getting the targets. I think we've upgraded in the areas that we needed upgrading. So I think we've got a team that hopefully can do as well as last year, if not better. The league's going to be very good this year again, though. Like, everybody is recruited very well.
Yeah.
Even like everybody every single, there's not a weak team in the league now. You don't know how things are going to turn out. We could finish second or third. We could finish eighth, ninth, tenth. You just don't know how things are going to work out on paper. I would hope that we'll do as well as last year, if not better. And I think we've got, on, you know, we've got a good group of guys. We're focused very much on getting a good core back, and then doing our recruitment and having a good dressing room, but having calibre players as well. And I think we've got that. And if we can build on what Pete brought last year and what we think Fitzy can bring this year, it should hopefully be a very good year.
Obviously, three games into your Challenge Cup campaign so far, and sitting at 1-2, those are games that weren't without their fireworks. Now, it's still obviously very early doors, and everyone's still kind of feeling the league out, feeling their lines out, their systems. What's the feeling in the locker room and around the club right now? Is it one of optimism?
It's positive. We've got a very good group of guys here. And I think, you know, like Dundee caught us a little bit by surprise last weekend, and that's, again, that's no disrespect to them, but fair play to Dundee, they look very good this year. It wasn't the results that I wanted to start the season with, but, you know, the guys worked hard during training this weekend. We got a good result against Fife on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, again, I think it shows the strength of the league, and, you know, say this time after time, I think it shows any team can win on any night, and that's exactly what we want from the league. It's important that teams are competitive, and Pash looks like he's put a good team together. But going forward, it was important for us to get a win in Fife. It's important for the organisation. It's important for the fans. And then obviously we've got a very difficult stretch of away games coming up. Obviously Belfast on Saturday and then Cardiff on Sunday. So it's going to be a tough couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it just keeps coming as it does in this league. You've mentioned it there, but obviously a first visit of the season to Belfast and a first meeting with the Giants this weekend. Historically, some fantastic games between the two sides, great atmospheres both home and away. Are you expecting a tired Giants fresh off their CHL opening games? What do you think that the game has in store?
No, I wouldn't say we're expecting a tight end. I've actually watched quite a few of the Champions League games, and I think the Giants are very good, very good. So it's going to be very difficult. Going into the building across there, it's always going to be very difficult. And to me, after last year, the Giants, they'll be one of the top teams again in the league this year. Kiefer and Thorns have done a really good job with the recruitment again, and the look really good, and it's going to be difficult, and you know, we've just got to go in there and be confident and hope we can come away with something. Again, it's not an easy building to get anything out of though now. It's I'm very impressed with what the Giants have done over the last couple of years. They've certainly raised the bar, along with Cardiff, for the rest of the league. And those two organisations now are the two organisations that need to be beaten.
Thanks again to Gareth. Before we talk about these games, let's just preview the Storm one as well. We travelled to the Drizzle Dome to take on the Manchester Storm in the first game of our Elite League campaign. Two trophies we're looking to retain in two nights regards to starting the campaigns. That's Sunday at 5:30 p.m. And earlier today, I had a chance to chat with Steve Packer of Storm TV. And the game on Sunday, the Belfast Giants start their defence of their Elite League title away in Altrincham, and they face the Storm. Joining me now, one of the men behind the mics on Storm TV, it's Mr. Stephen Packer. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really well, Paddy. I'm really good. How are you? How was your trip to Germany?
productive. not for my bank balance or my liver, but you know.
I've seen the pictures. It looked productive inside inverted commas.
You know how it is, mate. You've been.
Yeah.
The Storm. A few changes probably had to be made after last season and the struggles that went on, especially towards the end of the season. And those changes have come.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it was no secret that the club needed a bit of a freshen up on the ice, and Ryan. And Ryan Finty, he's certainly done that. He's gone out, he's recruited a lot of first-year pros, a lot of guys coming over from NCAA or U Sports over in Canada. And then he supplemented that with some real experience on the back end by signing Jared Allin and Lane Ulmer. And early signs, I mean, I know it's only one game in, and I was speaking to Tomar Pasha the other day, and he says, you know, everybody at this time of year thinks they're going to win the league. But early signs are promising.
One of the names that came back, I suppose, is Matt Ginn, a guy who was very, well, he was brilliant for you last season.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they go on Sunday. You know, if you believe the rumours, you could have the netminder that Belfast wanted to sign up against the netminder that Belfast did sign. So it could be interesting.
Then they say there's a few other names that have been retained in the likes of Bomber and Earhart, but there seems to be another physical aspect in bringing in Matthew Gagnon.
Yeah, again, I mean, it's no secret that, you know, in that it's rink in altering, and you've got to play that physical side. But the game against Dundee the other day, I think it really put a stamp on the style of hockey that Storm are going to play this year. It was almost watching two real quick, skillful teams go at it, but still with that little bit of edge, say, the back there with Gagnon and the likes of even Dallas Earhart. You know, his game has come on leaps and bounds on the offensive, but he's still got that little bit of a nasty side to him.
You mentioned, you know, Mario Puskrich, who came in quite late there, a name that's probably well known to any Giants fans went to the Friendship Four. He's got a real potential there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When I was doing my research, and one of the first pieces of the highlights I found was from the Friendship Four tournament. I actually didn't realise that he'd played.
Yeah, captain of Vermont at that time, I think.
Yeah, and as probably you know yourself, I mean, a real stellar NCAA career. You know, his numbers are off the chart, and then he took the professional step. And I believe he had a couple of setbacks through injury and whatnot, playing over in Croatia as well. Probably not easy. I know he's a Croatian national, I think it is. But say a Canadian guy, sorry, US guy, born and bred. If we can get just, you know, a glimpse of the player that we've seen for NCAA and Vermont, then we've made a real good signing there.
What about the Brit aspect of it? You know, likes of Adam Barnes in there. I see Zach Sullivan coming in there as well. You know, the thing about the Storm over the years, and they've been back in the league, there's always been that rich vein of British players playing through it. We'll come to Kieran Long in a few minutes. But the guys that you do have this season, how are they looking?
Yeah, I think that's always a difficult thing for a side that perhaps doesn't have the resources when the recruitment is trying to get all those Brits. And we've usually got to go and take a plunge at the guys that perhaps are not on the radar. So this year we've signed Finley Ulrich and Jacob Lutwich to supplement alongside, as you say, Barmer and Sullivan. And, you know, it's very early days. These guys, you know, they're 17, 18, so you can't ask too much from them. But they're very, very keen. They're enthusiastic. And what I have seen them on the ice, they are very talented as well. So, you know, it's something to build for the next maybe 4 or 5 years in the future and try and hold on to these guys as the club grows.
Well, let's say, you know, Sunday, the Belfast Giants come into town to start their domestic elite league season. And it is the return of Kieran Long. How much of a blow was that to your team and what sort of player do you think we're gaining?
You can't sugarcoat it from our point of view. It was a big loss. You know, we tried everything that we could do to keep hold of him. And it was a bit of a wrench for him as well, I think, as well, because he owed a lot to the club and to Ryan Finnerty and all of his productions of his own back. But, you know, Storm gave him his chance. And, you know, he was very settled there. Great guy on and off the ice. And, you know, hugely underrated as well. I mean, you guys, I've got an absolute diamond there.
The game is on Sunday afternoon. It's a great start for the Belfast Giants to reignite a bit of a rivalry that took place somewhat over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, it's always fun. I mean, I could tell that we were coming up to play you. You've seen David chirp in the Manchester Storm sports store. I knew it was coming up soon that you guys would be starting my phone and start buzzing or whatever. But it is. It's always a good fun. It's a good rivalry. It's nothing malicious behind it. And, you know, we enjoy playing you guys. We usually do all right.
It does come, though, unfortunately, after the sad news of the loss of Vicky Thomas. Obviously, Mark, former Sheffield Steelers player, but both of them, you know, key parts of the Storm setup, and such sad news.
Yeah, it's everybody sideways, to be honest. As you say, Mark is a local lad, involved with the Storm, involved with the Manchester Storm Juniors. And everybody's just absolutely devastated at the news. And I'm positive. I know that some things have started being put into motion to mark that, both on Saturday as the Storm visits Sheffield, but also on the game on Sunday when the Belfast Giants are in town. And I'm sure that Vicky's memory will not just be remembered on Sunday, but throughout the years and as the club goes on.
Thanks again to Steve. I'll start with David McGimsey because he hates this part of the show. two games, two different competitions, starting our defence in both the Cup and the League. But one of the things that probably is in the Belfast Giants' favour going into this home game against the Clan, Davey, is the fact that we've already been in the CHL and we've had quite a bit of pre-season leading up to it. So feasibly, you should be suggesting that we'll be hitting the ground running.
I've said all along, the CHL is great to be in, but it's at the level we're shooting at the minute, it's extended pre-season. So yes, I'm expecting us to, that's 2, 4, 6, 8 games now we've had, all pretty high intensity. So I expect us to hit the ground running, as you say, Paddy, and I'm hoping for good things this weekend.
Simon,
It's all you're getting. I don't like this part of the show.
No, you don't. That's why I came to you first. Simon, you'll be behind the mic, no doubt, for that game against the Clan. The Clan have had their struggles. They've got a few changes, not least in coaching. Actually, Pete Russell was at the game in Augsburg the weekend. Of course, he moved before in the off-season to take on the role in Germany at Freiburg. And now Zach Fitzgerald's in charge and he's not having the best of times to start with.
I can change at any time, Paddy.
Yep.
You know, they picked up a win at the weekend. Yep. You know, after a difficult start against Dundee the week before. And you know, as I say, they you know, Adam will certainly not be taking them lightly and under any circumstances. So he'll hopefully be preparing everything and all the guys for this weekend. You know, it's been a good pre-season for us. The CHL games is, you know, have certainly helped with the pace, and I think, you know, the Saturday game will be, you know, it'll be a big game. I know the arena's back, the big crowd for the first domestic game of the season. It's a trophy that we want to retain. You've won it the last 2 years, and you know, I know Adam and the boys will want to get that back again this year. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I think that you know, Shane Owen, as I say, played a great game there again at the weekend. Defensively, Matt Pellich will be back. You know, Forsberg, you have to wait and see what's happening with him. I think he's going to try and skate this week from what Pat's saying there. So, you know, hopefully we'll get everybody ready to go. And, you know, we've got that position where we have to leave one import out. You know, and, you know, we talked about, you know, actually, do you know what? We talked about all CHL games, and we haven't actually mentioned about young Liam Morton, top point scorer jersey, picked up another Halpies.
A player who we questioned, we questioned his signing and the yeah, risk level of risk, and he's come in and done phenomenally.
Absolutely, and you know, the kids say he'll be looking to play well this weekend, and if everybody's fit, you know, who do you leave out? That's what Adam gets paid for. That's what he, you know, that's what he gets. He's in the position to make those decisions. So hopefully we do have that ready, and we do have everybody fit, because at the end of the day, as I say, if everybody's fit, then everybody will be trying their utmost to try and make sure they're playing in that game at the SSC Arena on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to it, getting back behind the mic with Giants TV and hopefully pick up a win against the Clan.
Last time, Taff, we were in the Drizzle Dome to take on the Storm, wasn't the happiest of times. It ended up being a lot happier the following weekend, but the Storm have a much changed personnel, and then, you know, shouldn't be taken lightly.
Oh, no. We went there, and they took it to us, and they beat us, and we thought we were done after that. You know, we didn't expect to win the league after that loss, but Adam got the teams up and he said, guys, you got to win tonight. The last game for Cardiff, and he got him up, and I think it was against Dundee,
Yeah.
And he said, guys, just got to go out there and win tonight, put the pressure on them, and that's what we did. But, you know, a lot of personnel change in Manchester this year, so we don't, you know, they've had some good results at the start, so we don't really know what to expect when we go there, so... And it'll be an emotional night as well, you know.
Yeah.
Mark Thomas, his wife there as well. You know, and they'll probably want to win for him as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But those games, as I said, 7 PM on Saturday at home to the Clan at the SSC Arena. Get yourself down there. The first game of domestic competition for the Belfast Giants. And if you can't get down there, Belfast Giants TV, you can join Sizz. And the way to the Storm Sunday, 5:30 in Aldringham. And no doubt that will also be on Storm TV. Any other business, boys? Nope. Silence. Nothing. I suppose we did it at the start of the show, didn't we?
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Are you getting any time off, Taff, your last couple of days off, or are you just never stop?
what's a
day off?
It's a day off, mate.
Yeah.
Jeez. Day off today, and I was in today.
See if you go through his schedule from the end of the season last year. Wasn't your end of the season last year? You were home on Monday. You were away on the Tuesday. Back to Coventry.
6 weeks.
6 weeks in Coventry. World Championships. Back for 3 days, was it? And then you were away.
Way to Bratislava. I went to Alicante for a 3 day holiday. Went to Bratislava for a week, came back for 3 days, went to Finland for 10 days, and then straight back into it. So
non stop, man. Your machine?
Non-stop.
A machine?
Yeah.
Well, listen, we'll wrap things up there. But you'll have to come and join us again, mate, because we haven't even touched on the World Championships and that experience. Have to come back on and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem.
We're sitting watching they're doing the podcast. We're sitting watching of game 6 of the Stanley Cup of Washington versus Las Vegas, and his mates playing.
I was just gonna say to Simon there, I turned up at the ring today, and there's a package from Jason Taff Ellery. I'm thinking, what is that? I'm like, what's inside it? Nothing. And we're just watching this game on the TV. My friend in Belgium collects ice hockey gloves, with the players' names and logos and stuff. And there he is. And on the screen right now, in the package, was Oshie's gloves from the Stanley Cup final.
Very nice indeed.
Yep, got them sent to me today. Do you know where they're from? Put a note in there, there's a pair for your collection. Who the hell's sending me these? I've no clue.
Wow.
No clue.
Really? You've no idea? Yeah.
No clue where it is. The writing is so bad on it. I'm thinking, I have no clue who sent me these gloves.
Maybe they just sent them for me.
Yeah, but it does say my name on it.
Very good. Very good. Well, that's it. Listen, mate, really appreciate you joining us. Big thanks to Shane Owen, Craig Simpson for the interviews with the Morrisons, whatever. The Steve Packer, Gareth Chalmers, Mr. Kitchen, and Mr. Majimsey. Thanks as always.
Cheers, boys.
Night.
And like I say, the two games this weekend at home to the Clan Saturday at 7 p.m. and away to the Storm Sunday 5:30 p.m. You get them on Belfast Giants TV and Storm TV respectively if you're not heading down to the rink. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.